inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast by OVB Online about the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we accompany Ralf Denk, the team manager of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the largest and most successful cycling team in Germany, through the Tour of France. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobias.ruf@ovbmedia.de. And now, enjoy the new episode.
No mercy for the riders of the Tour de France after the tough days in the Alps. Rain, crashes, and at times pure chaos characterized the 20th stage, especially in the breakaway groups. In the end, Caden Groves was the strongest there. In the overall standings, everything remains unchanged. We are not only looking at today's stage, but also daring to take a look at the much-discussed finish in Paris. And for that, as always, I welcome the team manager of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, Ralf Denk.
Good evening and warm regards back to Rosenheim.
Yes, Ralf, actually we shouldn't be surprised anymore that even on a seemingly harmless stage, things get intense and hectic. Today, the lousy weather added to it, to be honest. I've rarely seen so many crashes, but I believe you all made it through safely, right?
Yes, we all got through it well, but it was really pure stress today again on the 20th stage. I already had a bad feeling at the start. Some teams warmed up on the rollers, basically on the home trainer. And that always means that the teams that really warm up also want to start right away. It went uphill right from the beginning. The sprinters like Jonathan Milan and so on were dropped relatively quickly. So it started right from kilometer zero, a real bike race again with many breakaway groups and nice chaos. Today we focused on getting Florian safely to the finish. And I believe we succeeded very well.
Yes, I think the priority was clear. You played it very safe, right? You didn't send anyone ahead. You were very much at the front of the group, sometimes even ahead of UAE to control everything. The main thing was to stay out of the way. That was the tactic today, I would say, from an outside perspective.
Yes, definitely. So we have really pushed hard for 19 stages and fought to keep Florian on course for the podium. And we didn't want to risk that today. That's why we used a very conservative tactic today.
They did not all choose, as I said, so many crashes at once in the corners. It was, of course, wet. It was slippery, even in the main field. There was a scene at the very end where many, including Lipovic, shook their heads at the finish line, questioning whether it was really necessary to take the corners so hard again. Is it happening a bit? Because we're now talking about the end of the third week and everyone is trying something again if they can, and then rain comes. So how do you see it?
We had it yesterday as well. 5 stages, I believe, go to Team UAE Emirates. 4 stages to Saudal Quickstep, 3 stages to Alpecin De Kooning. That is then, if I calculate correctly, 7 + 5, 12 stages where 3 teams go. There is nothing left for the other teams. We have 1 jersey, the white jersey. We currently have a podium place. We are covered. We will certainly consider the whole thing a very successful tour de force if we bring it over the finish line like this in the morning. But many teams have nothing on the credit side yet. And that's why today's stage was so fiercely contested, so they can also showcase their sponsors or the country they represent on camera. Because many teams are still virtually without success in this year's Tour de France. And the Tour de France generates between 60 and 80% of the annual advertising value. And if you are not good here, if you do not perform here, if you are not visible here, then of course it is difficult for the entire project. And then an entire year has not gone well.
And it's also about recommending oneself for potentially next year, etc., if one needs a wild card or something similar.
Definitely. So the teams that are here with a wildcard, there are ultimately 5. They want to show themselves. Team UnoX has won a stage here. Great for them. I am also personally very happy for the young Norwegian team, but there are also many teams still empty-handed, and that is not easy for them.
All right, thanks for the assessment. With that, we really move into the background today. I would like to talk with you about the state of German cycling. The last German stage win at the Tour de France was in 2021. There is a World Tour Nations ranking where Germany is currently ranked 12th. How do you see it? How does professional cycling from Germany compare internationally?
Professional cycling is essentially just a product that is created in the junior classes, if one may put it so simply. And for me, the relevant junior categories are under 15, under 17, under 19. We occasionally have talents there, even in our team. Paul Fitzke became vice world champion in the under 19 and so on. But I miss the broad mass in German cycling. Why is it missing? You have to turn the wheel back a bit. It's missing because, in my opinion, there are far too few races. I also became aware of the sport through bike races in our region where I watched with my father. And if I just go through our region, there were at least five, if not more, bike races per year in the Rosenheim district. Now, today, there is almost only the Burgmüller cycling night. So even in the district, there are significantly fewer cycling races than before. Why is that? Because it is relatively difficult for the clubs due to official regulations and personal liability, and road closures are not easy and so on. And in my opinion, that's actually the problem. If there are no bike races, there are no there's no new talents or fewer new talents, and ultimately professional sports suffer as well. Now, that's my view on the current situation.
Now, let me present some numbers that actually show there is indeed interest. The industry generates 15 billion euros in revenue. The market shares for the Tour de France, now also on TV, were outstanding, sometimes over 25%. Of course, this is probably also due to what Florian Lipowitz has done. But even this cycling hype, if you can call it that, it's actually there, but it doesn't really result in saying, okay, we also get more races, or how do you see it?
The hype is definitely there. But the question was, we are talking about young talent. For me, those are two different things. We have a massive hype. We have a strong industry, meaning many bikes are being sold. In my opinion, Netflix has significantly advanced professional sports for us. We have great viewership ratings for the professional races. It's definitely all there. And an incredible number of people are cycling globally, not just in Germany, but globally. An incredible amount of cycling is happening. This might be the new golf and the new tennis. So you definitely feel that. Why is it still so difficult to get children and teenagers into competitive sports? I simply believe that the importance in our society, and here I'm speaking more for Germany, that the importance of competitive sports is perhaps just not there anymore. Like it used to be, when one would say, okay, I am a competitive athlete, that defines me, that gives me self-confidence. That might not be as prevalent in today's society, and that's why maybe not as many want to compete in contests. And then there's the issue that there aren't as many competitions anymore.
How can you do a little something there? I mean, on the one hand, of course, to offer something for the youth, and on the other hand, maybe also for German riders. I know there was a time when you had almost all the best German riders with you. After that, you became a bit more international and shifted your focus. Now, with Florian Lipowitz, we have the German hope in your team again. Does that shift things a bit? Do you have a stronger focus there again? Or how are you approaching it?
No, we as Team Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, it is difficult for us to do something. Of course, we are interested in strong German riders, but that is nothing new either. I think it's more about appealing to those who love cycling. I am one of them. I also volunteer, for example, in organizing the Bob Müller Cycling Night. I gladly do that, even though my time is very limited. But volunteering is, of course, fundamentally important for youth sports. And volunteering is somewhat lacking, which is why the clubs, I know from the clubs in our district that they are often desperately looking for staff to take the children and young people to races on the weekends and so on. So I believe the approach is more like saying, oh, okay, volunteering, I stand by it. I advance our sport because I love it. And there I also find a bit of a lack of commitment in some people.
In that context, it's a bit of a detour, but it at least concerns German cycling. When we talk about it, we're usually talking about the men. Now, not only because the Tour de Femmes is starting today, there have also been some questions about a potential women's team and what that actually looks like in Germany.
Can you say what your plans might be? Do you have any at all, or what is your standpoint?
First of all, I'm really happy for the girls. I'm not saying this in a derogatory way, that the sport is growing for them too, that they also have their own goalkeeper. It wasn't always like that. And that sponsors are also taking an interest and that they are getting live broadcasts. I think that's cool. We also discussed this from time to time within our team and with the main shareholder, Red Bull. What is our position? What can we do? I also know that today people from Red Bull are at the Tour de France start. They are also looking at it, but from our side, there is not yet any clear plan on how we will handle it, how we will support women's cycling. But I can confirm we have it on our radar and are not just looking at it with one eye.
Mm-hmm. Can you mention any timeline, or is that all still unforeseeable?
No, there is no current timeline.
All right, Ralf, thank you for the assessment. What interests us now is the view on Paris, and this year it will be particularly tricky because it's not for pure sprinters. Montmartre is on the route three times. Some find it a welcome change, others see it as unnecessary stress. What is your assessment for tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow's stage will, of course, be a hot topic. What does that mean? Not a pure flat stage in Paris, but over the local mountain, which was also part of the Olympic course last summer here in Paris. And what actually changes the character of the race is that the last crossing of Montmartre, there are then only 6 or 7 kilometers to the finish, and it remains to be seen. And the course can be as difficult as it wants. Primarily, the racers make it difficult. And I think everyone is a bit nervous, including me, because we don't know what the peloton has planned and what the riders have planned. It could be that it turns into a real battle again. It could be that Montmartre is just written over and then there's the classic sprint on the Champs-Élysées. We don't know. We are really excited, and we will certainly prepare our guys so that we all are armed with circumstances, but we need to discuss it in detail again tomorrow or on Monday. What does this final stage with three crossings of the Parisian hill bring? Is it really an add-on, or does it perhaps even destroy the character of the classic final stage? We will see. I cannot answer the question.
Okay, but maybe add a sentence that it is currently being discussed to take the time for the overall classification already the first time going up Montmartre in bad weather, and that from then on it is basically just a one-day race. Do you also look at the rain radar, or how do you handle that?
Yes, the weather is forecast to be changeable tomorrow. In our situation, we will naturally welcome that. But do all the fans along the route welcome it when, after the first pass, all the overall classification riders are no longer active and it's just those fighting for a stage win, essentially two races in one? I'm not such a fan of that.
My gut feeling says that classic Paris stage might be cooler, but I'm open to being convinced otherwise. And let's talk about it again on Monday.
We will definitely do that. And my colleague Tobias Hoff will take over because there is no time for it tomorrow. Many sponsors are coming and there will be a lot going on afterward. And we want to calmly review everything. Can you tell us what is planned for tomorrow after the finish line? Have you already reserved anything for potential celebrations or what does the day look like tomorrow?
From the team, are very grateful that our partners are taking care of this for us. Both Red Bull, Bora, Hansgrohe, Boss, they have teamed up. The Kränke Bank is also involved. They have rented a location where the team will be received. That is, of course, appreciation for us, which we have actually been looking forward to for 3 weeks. And if it goes successfully, which we hope, that we bring home the third place in the overall ranking and the white jersey, then such a reception is, of course, much nicer than if you have to answer questions about why we weren't successful.
I can imagine. It doesn't look too bad, to put it mildly. All right, Ralph. Thank you very much. As I said, no podcast from us tomorrow. Instead, the big review with my colleague on Monday, where we will go through the entire tour again and finally see what Paris had to offer. For today, I say thank you very much and best regards to France.
Best regards and see you on Monday.
This was the current edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online about the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all common podcatchers and on the pages of OVB Media and IPM Media. Thanks for listening and until the next episode.